Pack here on WEEI Afternoons and straight to the guest line for our weekly chat or post-holiday edition of our weekly chats with Brian Hoyer. Mr. Hoyer, how are we doing today?
I'm great. Happy New Year, fellas. Great to be with you guys again.
Good holiday?
Yeah, it was great. Great. I mean, what's there to complain about? A bunch of Patriots wins, some got a little snow, so we had a snowy Christmas. It was great.
Was your New Year's resolution to not swear on the radio this year?
No, I made that resolution a long time ago when I found out that you're not allowed to.
It would be.
I don't want to get fined. I made it 15 years in the NFL without getting fined. I'm not trying to start now.
So you obviously know you're a podcaster. You're in the media, the whole thing. The story of the week around here, beyond the Patriots making the playoffs. We'll get to the game and the big game. But everybody's breaking down early in the week the MVP because the votes are in. Drake May should be, you know, one of the top two candidates. Do you think Drake May is going to win the MVP?
You know what? I'm torn because I think that he should. Do I think that he will? I don't know. I think there's a campaign going around for Stafford. And let me put it this way. I love Matthew Stafford, class of 09, still going strong. And I believe he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't think that he needs to win MVP this year to be a Hall of Famer, but I feel like there's a narrative out there that is trying to push it for that. But when I think of who's more valuable to their team, to me, it's got to be Drake May. I mean, he was on a team that won 4 games last year, and I think if you take Drake May off the Patriots, I don't think they have as nearly the same result. But I think if and this is, people are going to think I'm crazy for this, but if Jimmy Garoppolo plays for the Rams with the people they have around him, they're not winning as many games as they are with Stafford, but they're not going to be bad either.
Yeah, I feel like I could talk to you about this all day. I'm fascinated kind of by this this race here, and I'm, you know what, just to go further on that. I mean, Drake May, the argument, I was listening to Arcan last night, Brian, and he was talking about he doesn't put a lot of stock into the players that Stafford plays with versus the players that Drake May plays with. He thinks that's overblown. He thinks the players that Drake plays with are really good receivers and then skill receivers. And I disagree. I think that should matter and should be a factor when you're looking at the MVP race. Do you look at the guys that Drake is playing with and go, you know what, he's elevating. Those are all good players, but he's elevating those guys where I think feels like Matt, to me, has, you know, excellent already skill position players that he doesn't need to raise the level. They're already great players. Do you agree with that sentiment or no?
Yeah, Ted, I agree with you. I think if people are going to throw out the schedule argument, then you have to also say, okay, if he's playing if Stafford's in a, you know, quote unquote tougher schedule, he's also playing with quote unquote better players. Davante Adams, arguably a Hall of Fame wide receiver. Puka Nacua, I don't know if anybody would say that there's a better receiver in the league right now. And I love the receiver group and the tight end group and the skill group that Drake is playing. It's really done by committee. And Drake does a phenomenal job of spreading that ball around. Now, I don't know if this is a true story or not, but I read something about a guy who was scouting Drake May and said went back to his high school years. And when he was a high school junior, I believe, he would grab the stat sheet at halftime to see who wasn't getting the ball and made sure that they got him in the second half. And it's such an unselfish quality. And I think that's part of what you consider when you're voting for that award. I mean, look, the reality is Drake May is going to have a long career ahead of him. If he doesn't win it this year, will he win it in the future? I don't know. Never, no year is never the same. This has been a magical season for him, and he's very well deserving. I don't think that the fact that Stafford is towards the end of his career and hasn't won it yet should be a factor. I think you look at what's gone on this year. I think that there's a lot of arguments for both guys. And ultimately, if I was voting, I think I would vote for Drake May, just because I look at the turnaround that's happened. No one expected this. Look, on your show, way before the season started, people called me crazy for saying that I thought the ceiling was 12 games. Well, they've surpassed that by 2. And a lot of that has to do with the way that the guy has played quarterback.
So, Brian, going forward with the notion of the growth and development of Drake May in his second season under Vrabel and McDaniels, what is your favorite thing or what growth element of his second season are you most impressed by?
man, there's so many things you could choose from. But I think for me, it's going to be the comfort level that he has gotten to in this system so quickly. I mean, getting into the right plays. I go back to I haven't spoken to you guys since the Jets game, but the touchdown pass to Ramondre Stevenson, you know, having played in that system and just the ease of bringing the back in, making sure you get the right protection call so you know that you can get the back matched up on the defensive end when they blitz, and then the effortless throw. And I think the scary thing, I think, for the rest of the league is you have a surgical precision passer at quarterback that also has the athleticism to pull it down and hurt you with his legs. And, you know, we saw it in the Buffalo game, some design quarterback runs for touchdowns. Like, that factor has to give opposing defensive coordinators nightmares, because they're like, all right, well, if we want to cover the guys, now we have to worry about, you know, accounting for Drake's legs too. And to me, the ability to not force the runs, I think he lets it come to him. That's a rare quality for these guys to have.
Former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer here on WEEI Afternoons. And Brian, a lot of people, and I think I was included in that group, said, oh, this is a good matchup for the Patriots. This is a good draw of the teams that they could have faced. And then I start looking and I'm like, huh, did I know that the Chargers defense has the lowest opposing passer rating in the NFL? Did I know they had 19 interceptions? What do you think about this matchup for Drake May and the Patriots and the offense specifically going against that talented Chargers defense?
Yeah, I think they kind of get forgotten about because you think of the Chargers, you think of Justin Herbert, you think of Jim Harbaugh, you think of the offense, right? And the one thing I would say is the first thing I wrote in my notes is, you know, how do the Patriots win this game? Offensively, you have to know where Derwin James is on every single play. He is a game wrecker. He can sack the quarterback, strip sacks. He can pick the ball off. He can cover in man coverage. I think Jesse Minter has done a tremendous job with that unit. And I think if I'm not wrong, they play zone defense almost more than any other team in the entire league. And so what they're trying to do is to see, can you have a precision passing attack against their zone defense, drive the length of the field and score in the red area? It's like they're daring you to see if you mess up before they do. And so I think the one thing that Drake has proven is when he gets the ball in his hands to throw it, he's going to be efficient. Obviously, you know, franchise record in completion percentage in only his second year. So in a lot of weird ways, this kind of lines up similarly to 2018 when we played the Chargers in the first round, in the sense that defense that we went against in that Chargers game, they were almost played all zone. And I think what you're going to see is a game plan where Drake is getting the ball out of his hands on time early, try to tire out their defensive pass rush by being precision passing, take what they give you, move the ball down the field, and then get the running game going. That was a big thing for us on that Super Bowl run, was the late season shift to the running game. I love what I've seen the past few weeks in the running game. Mondre is playing probably the best football of his career, and you pair that with Henderson, and he's able to add that explosiveness to it. I think they got to keep that balance this weekend.
It's such a good point you bring up, Brian. You think about that 2018 season, you know, it kind of at the end of November, early December, you're losing to Pittsburgh, and you're starting to, this team's – and then the last two games, you guys play the Jets and I think the Dolphins, and it was like the offense clicked and the running game clicked. And so that's a great kind of parallel that you draw there. I'm curious more about what you think of Justin Herbert. You know, he's – the offense for the Chargers kind of looks, you know, in a lot of the metrics, just average to a little bit below average, but they're – they're third in third down conversions. I mean, they keep the chains moving with their third down offense. He gets sacked a lot. He has to scramble a lot. Just your thoughts on Justin Herbert and that offense for the Chargers.
Yeah, I think he's a top five quarterback in the NFL. I think, you know, early on people asked me, you know, who would you compare Drake May to? I said, I think he's somewhere in between Josh Allen and Justin Herbert. Now it's established now Drake May is Drake May. There's no comparison, but I think his skill set is somewhere in between those two guys. Because I think Herbert, very similarly to Drake, is athletic enough to run the football if he has to. But he wants to hang in there and be a drop back passer, and he can throw it all over the field. Now the thing for him this year that sucked is the offensive line has just been decimated by injury. And so he's back there, but he's tough as nails. I mean, the guy had surgery on his left hand and is playing 7 days later. And so he got some rest last week. They didn't play him. But he's definitely one of those guys that I remember her going out to play him the first time we were, you know, I was on the Patriots, he was on the Chargers, and Bill basically gave a 45-minute diatribe about how this was the next Dan Marino. And if you look at statistically, I don't know if there's anybody who compares Herbert in his first however many years as a professional quarterback, has just been such a good passer of the football. Now he's got to stay protected, and I think that'll be, if you want to really rattle the Chargers early, is stop the run, make them pass the ball, and try to pressure him, especially up the middle of the pocket, and then try to contain him. You know that, Ted, with a guy who's as athletic as that, you can't let him get on the edge because he can hurt you by scrambling and throwing or running.
So, Brian, obviously we've been talking about how the Chargers have a better defense than advertised. Mark Schlereth talked about it last hour. Fifth overall in the NFL, fifth on pass, eighth on rush. It's going to be tough, and there's going to have to be somebody else other than the quarterback, someone else not named Drake May, to step up and be a key contributor on Sunday night. Who do you think that unsung hero offensively, or who do you think that certain someone that steps up and has a big game could be for them or needs to be Sunday night?
Well, with the amount of zone that the Chargers play, I think it's got to be the tight end group. I think it's got to be Hunter Henry and Austin Hooper. I think they're going to allow you to throw the ball inside with the amount of zone that they play. And I think Drake has to be patient enough to just take what they give him. And then when they go ahead and try to take some of that stuff away, look, Drake has proven that he always has an eye out for those opportunities to take some shots over down the field, whether it's on go balls, posts, whatever it might be. And so I think, the inside of that passing game, so the tight ends, Diggs working on those juke routes, those option routes over the middle. I would even say, when you drop back pass and they all drop out of there, check it down to Mondre, check it down to Henderson, and just take what they give you. You go back and watch that game when we played that Chargers. Now, different scheme, but a lot of zone. Remember, that's when classically when Bosa's like, hold on to the ball, Tom, I'm trying to get here. And Tom's like, I ain't holding on the ball tonight. Yep. Like that's what the game plan's got to be.
Brian, when we asked Drake yesterday about playing in the biggest game of his life, his career, he said, well, the next one's always the biggest one. He kind of did that thing. And that's cool to do. But the reality is it's a primetime home playoff game, the first time in the postseason. As a quarterback, is it different? Is he going to see a different speed? Is he going to feel a different buzz? Is there any pressure on him? Because, for example, the guy on the other side of the ball, people are already saying, hey, how come Justin Herbert doesn't win playoff games? Like, if you're a quarterback and you don't win in the postseason, it kind of gets attached to you. So what do you think Drake will be feeling as he enters this game?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that's a narrative that we spin now that I can say I'm in the media. as a player, you try to eliminate that. And I think you realize it's a one game season. All you pour everything you can in this week. And I think the one thing, you asked me before, what's one thing to pinpoint? Like the most impressive thing to me about Drake from the moment he took over is just the maturity level. And so I think, he believes in his preparation. He believes in the coaching that Josh has given him. I think that's such a good person for him to rely on. Josh has the blueprint. He knows exactly how these games go, and he'll adjust accordingly. So I think he's just got to put his faith in the preparation, in the plan, and in his teammates, and he's done that all year. You understand that the stakes are higher, but the game's still the game. You do the work during the week, and that leads you to what you're ready to do on Sunday night.
Brian, I'm curious what you think of just the external factors that come into play in the playoffs. For instance, you referenced that playoff game in 2018-19 season that you guys had here at the Patriots, and playing, the Chargers. They had flown out the week before to play the Baltimore Ravens in a physical game, won that game, flew back to the West Coast, and then flew back out to play you guys in a cold game. I a West Coast team, just think of the travel, the cold weather. That's got to play a factor, right? I mean, Justin Herbert, his record in cold games is not good. I mean, that does play a part in these games, yes, right?
I think so. I think that's human nature. You've been out in California. It's 70 degrees. Now you got to fly across the country for 5 hours. Now, look, they understand it's one game or go home, too, so you got to put everything it is into it. But I think it is an advantage for the Patriots because they embrace, going outside. They embrace the cold, and I think that's something you got to lean into. There's no doubt about it.
Brian, if you had to pick, outside of New England, knowing that what a football guy you are, if you had to pick a sort of, let's call them a watch out for that team in either conference, but especially the AFC, who would that team be?
I think it's in the AFC, it's the Texans. I just, that defense I watch and I'm like, I don't want to play against those guys. Me personally, my time's done, but I watch the ferociousness that they play with. It's crazy. And I think CJ Stroud, after that injury, he watched Davis Mills kind of go out and execute the offense. I think the way Nick Cayley wanted, and he has an understanding of what they're trying to accomplish. That's a team to me that is one to watch out for. And then in the NFC, I mean, maybe this is a cop out, but I watched that Seattle San Francisco game. I think that's a Legion of Boom too. And ultimately, that's the matchup I'm hoping to see in the Super Bowl, is a rematch of that famous Super Bowl, Patriots and Seahawks.
Hey, real quick, Brian, what's your thoughts on Sam Darnold? I mean, some days he looks great, some days not so. What's your overall take on him?
Yeah, man, he's a true gunslinger, right? And I think he has a short memory, clearly. He goes out and just lets it rip. I think getting that big win in Week 18 over the 49ers, it's kind of getting over that hump of winning that crucial game. And it's a team sport, and so he can lean on that defense because that's an elite defense a little bit. Let it, you know, lean on the running game. But, you know, Ted, all it takes is one game at a time right now. If he has a tremendous three-game stretch, they're going to be there in the Super Bowl.
Brian, before we get your prediction, I wanted to give equal time, because earlier in the show we talked to Mark Schlereth, former offensive lineman, and he was voicing his displeasure with the fact that the Heisman Trophy and MVPs always go to quarterbacks. He went on a rant about the position's not that hard. Everybody says it's hard. It's not that hard. You read the safety and you throw, depending on where the as a quarterback, from your perspective, what are your thoughts on the fact that all those awards have just become quarterback awards? Is the quarterback position easier than we think it is, or harder than we think it is?
It's harder. And when I tried to explain things to people, I did a segment with Phil Perry, and I think I broke his brain trying to describe how there's coverage reads and there's progression reads, and you have to deal with progressions and protections and all of those things. Look, the reality is, and we've seen this year after year, it's very hard to win at that level if you don't have a above average quarterback. That's just the reality. Everything is on their plate. Now, there's been great, you know, non-skill players that I look at Joe Tooney. I mean, this guy may go down as one of the greatest players of all time. I mean, every year
never missed the playoffs.
On a division. Yeah. And it's just, it's insane. And so like a guy like that comes to mind, of someone who may be able to, or willing to be able to be considered for that role. But ultimately it's always going to be a quarterback award, because if you don't have the quarterback, it's just too hard to win consistently in this league.
All right, before we let you go, what's going to happen Sunday night?
I think it's Patriots win. I'm going to say 35-28.
Ooh, high scoring, a little bit of a shootout. I like it.
So.
Ooh, I like it.
But that's what I want. I mean, as a fan, as a media person, I don't want to watch a 17-10 win. That's boring. Let's see some points.
You don't think Drake's ready for this mentally, right? I mean, he's never played in
a
game.
So.
Yeah, he that doesn't concern you, right? His poise or his nerves, right?
No, not at all. I think he's shown the maturity. He has the confidence. I think, if anything, the last several weeks, even some of the throws I've seen with even more confidence now than it was at the beginning of the year. So I think he's ready.
All right, Brian, enjoy the big weekend of football, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks Brian.
That's former Patriots quarterback Brian Hoyer. Quarterback is harder than you think it is, Mark Schlereth. How you like Dem Apples, offensive line guy?
Somewhere between 8 and 11 games.
Yeah, he tried to fluff up his win total in there.
He did.
He threw a 12 in there. I was like,
of 12.
I thought
11.
He said 12 too, but he said 11.
It was 11. Okay. He tried to get closer to the real number.
Yeah.
He still doesn't get that. It was the range that people were annoyed with more than the actual high-end
and
number.
And he's still wrong, no matter what.
That is true.
Somewhere between 8 and 11 games.
I thought he said 12.
No, but it was 11. Taylor Kyles was 13, and they were all wrong. Nobody picked 14 wins, but here we are. We do need to react to a couple things he said, sort of breaking down the game and how it could play out on Sunday night. And then top of the hour, 4 o'clock, it's time for a TED Talk. Patriots-Dolphins, break that down and how it relates to the postseason. All that and more up next here on WEEI.